Come on.
Welcome to Left. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful David Carpenter. David, are you ready to do this?
I am ready to do this. Thanks for having me on.
Well, excited to have you on. David is the CEO of Gameiotics. They are the only software for live entertainment that connects audiences and content with zero hassles. David, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. Well, I am a 22 years entertainment industry veteran. I have worked mostly in Broadway and off-Broadway for most of my career. And on the personal side, which is important to this conversation, is that I'm an avid video and board gamer, get any type of gaming that I can get my hands on and always have been. And working in the theatrical industry and working on Broadway for a long time is that was always an outside passion and hobby of mine and for years. I mean, ever since I was, 7 years old, and we got, the first PC platform where I could start playing video games on. And there was a moment about 6-7 years ago where I saw something about the gamification of the live event space, right? And it was originally certainly within theatrical. And I thought, gosh, that's something I've never seen before. And boy, I think I wanna dig into that and figure out what this is. And I think a lot of times in technology is that you have that kind of 40-year desert period when you have that idea and you start playing around with it, but you just have no idea what to do with it. And then I went through that for about 4 or 5 years. What I was in the very early stages of developing Gameiotics is because there wasn't really an application for it that I could find, right? Or could find a way to make it, into a scalable software company. And so it was always a side project. And then it turned into a not side project about 2.5 years ago. And that's really where things started taking off for me.
Nice. Which
obviously coincides with the start of the pandemic. So this is one of those stories where trapped inside the house for 2 years led to an enormous amount of innovation on my end.
Yeah, I imagine that hastened things a little bit. What were you doing with Broadway off and on?
Yeah, so I worked in general management. I worked in sales and marketing for many years. I worked at a production company. I ran a production company for about 5 years for somebody else. And then I had my own production company for 5 years. And in that, I co-produced on Broadway. I was a lead producer on Broadway of an experiential show called Slava Snow Show. That was back in the winter of 2019. And I'd also been the producer of an off-Broadway show called Puffs, which is a parody of the Harry Potter universe, which is now the second most produced show in the U.S. I don't produce it anymore, but it's licensed by every high school and college you can imagine. And the type of entertainment that I found myself drawn towards and producing was not traditional musicals, was not traditional plays. It was this other idea of experiential and interactive entertainment that I really started falling in love with. And experiential entertainment is the fastest growing sector of live entertainment right now. And I just felt that it was missing a technological component in order to be able to draw audiences deeper into what it is they're doing. I mean, when you play a video game, right, you are, it's a solo experience that you're engaged with the content and you're taking actions and you're making choices. And that's with what I do at Gameiotics is saying, how do we do that idea in live entertainment, in a live space for a collective audience, right? And that was kind of the first big thing I was after with what Gameiotics. And then during, of course, the pandemic, it morphed into so much more.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. So you mentioned, I think the term you used was experiential entertainment. It's an industry. It's like $100 billion industry. Yeah. How does that segment, is it different from the metaverse? Is it the same thing?
Well, it's the idea that the consumer's entertainment is not passive, right? I mean, when you are at home watching Netflix, when you are watching a movie, when you're watching a play or a musical, your role in the experiences as audience member is to take in and absorb, right? And that is the extent of what your role is. You're not asked to do anything else other than watch, right? When you look at experiential, the role of the audience changes, right? In that they're no longer being asked to simply be a passive participant, but to have a place and to have a stake and to have an idea. So when you know, some of the best ones out in the marketplace, there's a very famous company called Meow Wolf, which does these amazing installations that are just like these beautiful story worlds that they've crafted. They started in Arizona. They were originally funded by George R.R. Martin, right, from Game of Thrones. And they've just created these just wonderlands, right? Like Disneyland is experiential entertainment. Everywhere you go, everywhere you're looking at is something to interact with, right? And so that started, I want to say, you know, in a significant way in the amusement park space. And it is now just kind of moving further into just places where we intersect with consumers. And so you see a lot of installations, you see a lot of VR and AR and light shows and things that are happening, you know, around the world. And that's what is all fueling the experiential entertainment marketplace.
Got it. Nice. So with Gameatics, when I'm thinking about how am I going to deploy this technology that I've created, it could be everywhere. How do you decide? How do you think about that?
Well, so Gameatics is a platform, right? I mean, what the software company, it's a B2B company, right? We are selling a platform that is allowing for a different type of experiential entertainment or to come into the marketplace. And so the difference with what I am doing is that Gameatics, it's a two-way communication device, right? Like between the audience and between the content. So, you know, the wand at Harry Potter World at Universal Studios, right, is a beautifully crafted thing because they buried an RFID chip inside this very expensive piece of plastic. And it allows you to go around the park and wave the wand over things and have an interaction, right? It becomes interactive, right? But that communication is only one way. It's like I wave the wand, the thing happens, and then that conversation is done. And what I've been after is, what if you're able to establish a conversation where the choices that the patron or the collective audience is making, it can be down to the individual level or, you know, as many people as you want, but their choices are actually having a consequence and having a reaction. And then that reaction has another reaction and then more choice and a different set of choices come forward. And so you're able to create this idea of this branching narrative idea. Like, I mean, this is kind of where Gameatics really began, in that how you're informing the content changes the content as it's happening in front of you, right? And that's a very new idea within this marketplace. I think the other thing has to do with just simply communication and audience engagement, that you're able to very simply and easily with the software provide an ongoing conversation with your audience member that is informative, that is gamified, right? That is giving them action and giving them stakes in this experience that they're having, to allow for a different type of experience than we normally do. And the other thing too, for me is, and I am getting around to answering your question, right? But the other thing too is taking the phone and turning it into a tool to unlock your entertainment device without having it to download an app, right? And that's really important to me because consumers don't want to download apps for something, you know, what we're proposing for our clients in live entertainment space. They want the interface to be dispensable, right? So we made a very conscious decision from day one to dive into mobile web and do it completely mobile. And we're finding a huge success with that because the consumer don't want to think that I'm tracking every single thing they're doing and I now have access to their phone. And there is a trust implicit if they're opening a web browser that when they close that web browser, they've cut off that communication, right? And so for Gameatics, it's about agency. It's about putting that power, putting that choice into the consumer's hands. So who we're selling to is certainly within the experiential entertainment. I am a partner in a live action a Dungeons and Dragons style gaming event show, right? Where the audience is using Gameatics to interact, but there's all sorts of game mechanics that exist within that show. But where this starts getting, you know, even more exciting for me is when we look at traditional spaces, right? When you look at the museum space and say, hey, you can do a linear audio guided tour where the information is being fed on a stream, right? And you're going from point A to point B to point C and learning something, or you can flip that conversation on its head and say, well, which room do you want to go to and what do you want to learn? And then have that information communicated back to you. And then that choice then determines where you go next. And suddenly you've taken the idea of going into a museum or going into a space and turning it into an adventure and turning it into a game that I'm participating in order to learn, in order to do something, right? And that's the thing that I'm, that's what we're really after with what we're doing, the software, is that that gamifying the experience, right? But putting it into the audience's hands and saying, well, what do you want to see and what do you want to do today? And how can your choices make for a better experience here? And so it's a different level of how we craft narratives, right? And how we craft the story that we're telling our audiences. So, and then, you know, there are, there's applications for it, certainly within the sporting events, because you're at a game with people who want to watch a game, let's all play a game, right? And so I'm in deep conversations with sporting teams about running pilot programs, about how it is that you are continually engaging your fans, right? In the moments when the game's not happening. And that's, I think that's also, you know, fun and exciting to be able to do, because one of the things that we're having so much trouble with is engagement with our fans and engagement with our audiences, because the minute that we lose their attention, they go off onto another Facebook or Instagram or, you know, or Snap or whatever it is that they're doing. And I'm saying, hey, if they're on their phone, harness the power of that phone to engage with them, right? And use it in a way that that they're not going to go off elsewhere, but they're going to stay in your conversation that you're having with them.
Yeah. So essentially the sky's the limit. It can, there's use cases.
That's what,
for,
I hate
for...
saying that, right? Because like I'm a startup, so you can't say that, but there's a lot of places where we interact with our consumers, right? I mean, there's a lot of spaces where we do that. I mean, I was talking on another podcast where this concept of gamification is really getting deep into our lives now. And like my Apple Watch, which I'm wearing right now, like I have the exercise thing turn on and I close rings every day and I get that weird serotonin thing of being like, oh, I closed a ring. And that's a game, right? Like mm-hmm. there is a goal, there is an objective and there is an endpoint to it. Right. And it's so this concept and this idea of engagement is something that I think we're just going to see more and more on. Right. And also because consumers, especially within the youngest generation of consumers, they are moving away from passive entertainment. Right. Like there will always be a place, I think, for the things, the traditional things that we love in terms of movies, in terms of television and film and even theater. But always that next generation comes up and says, I want more. I want something different. I want something more engaged. Right. And I also think that for me, this concept of agency of experience is really important, because I feel we are in a place in our lives where we question how much choice we actually have, right? I mean, like in terms of the entertainment we're being fed, in terms of the news we're being fed, it turns out, and there's a constant fight for consumer attention. But I think what we're finding that is the most successful is when you're able to give your audience the choice and let them have the power to choose, then they become a more valuable customer.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. So I'm listening. My company, I interact with people. I have events. I have employees. I'm a school. Is there a certain size that I have to be to engage with Gamionics?
No, because we're looking at this and doing this all the way down from the single user experience, like where you were able to like do like what I said, which is a museum walkthrough, and the idea is that the platform has the ability to transform the museum space into an escape room, right? Without having to build an escape room, is that you're able to gamify and engage, right? And send a user through to go on an adventure all the way up to the arena size, right? So that you're looking at, you look at the music industry, there's been some early indications, and I've seen where they're trying, what they call it is they call crowdsourcing the playlist, right? Where you have these bands that have so many songs and so many hit songs, like what do people want to play? And as opposed to saying, all right, this is going to be our set list, actually asking their fans and saying, what do you want to hear tonight? Like, what are the things that you want to do? And so you can look at that idea of simple polling, right? But what my software allows for is really easy access for the audience to be able to do that, engage, get in, and you just to start feeding them questions, right? And start feeding them and engaging them as a community in the conversation you're having about this thing, the thing that they love. And so you know, yes, of course, sky's the limit in terms of it's really where there's any in the live entertainment, the live event arena, anytime that you have a gathering where you're putting people together and you're asking them to pay attention to content, is that finding that intersection of saying, I'm asking them to pay attention to content, but what else am I asking them? How else am I asking them engage not only with us, but also with each other? Right. And so that's the things that we're experimenting and starting to build with right now. So I have the other thing that we've been able to do, and this is like goes sideways in this conversation, right? In terms of what the software can do, is that because the software is so accessible, right? And it's so easy to use, and it's not dependent on an app download, it's, you know, Wi-Fi or cell service, we can, and we're feeding information to the phone in real time. We're launching a program with Purdue University, who we work with in the fall, about doing closed captioning in their theater space, right? And there is the question of accessibility, right, within the live event space, to be able to draw more people and more types of people, because you have this other way to be able to communicate with them. I mean, one of the challenges in the accessibility space is, especially within live event, is like, okay, we'll do our hearing performance, and we'll hire an ASL and we'll advertise it. But out of the 20 performances you have, just one is designated for that audience. And what we're experimenting with Purdue right now is saying, what if every one of your performances were accessible? What if someone who's hearing impaired who wanted a closed caption from their seat, right, wanted to come to any show that you were doing as opposed to the designated show? And so that's what we're running with Purdue right now. We start that in the fall, just start testing that idea to see what their consumer adoption is going to be. Make sure that, you know, everything's rolling and that the software is working the way that they want it to, and then seeing where that goes. And we're, you know, we're building in multilingual capabilities so that if you want to take this idea, and it's the idea of taking closed captioning, like, which you can do on Netflix right now. We could all watch Squid Game, right? Whether we, you know, and watch Squid Game in subtitles, and saying, well, gosh, there is live audio translation, but if you have scripted performance, why aren't you delivering that script in multiple languages and also to the hearing impaired, right? And so that's something that we're chasing right now within that space too. So yeah, it's that, again, at the heart of it, it's providing a technological solution for communicating with your audience using the tool that's in their pocket, right? And that's the thing that we're really after, you know, with the software company now.
Exciting. So from an entrepreneurial standpoint, what has been the, well, I guess what's the hardest thing for you? Is it getting awareness and attention? It's having the conversations, it's the technology.
So even in 2022, right, there is this this just abiding opinion that technology doesn't work, right? And when you're working in the live space, the things need to work. The lights need to work. The sound needs to work. Like all the things need to work. And you, of course, have decades of control systems that have been built, that have been tested. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, I've been at shows where the whole system collapses and they have to reboot. I mean, we see this, but like for the most part, you know, for live entertainment, you're looking at stability, right? I mean, you know, Netflix, I think, you know, works because their platform works. Like, whenever I go into Netflix, it turns on, right? I mean, that's what we look for in technology. But when you're introducing these ideas into that space, that early adoption is really tough, because there is just an inherent belief of like, oh, I've seen people trying to, not quite like mine, but I've seen people trying to do this before, and the technology never works, right? And so for me, I realized that, you know, about a year ago, saying, gosh, I can tell people that it's going to work, but to get them to invest the time and the energy and the money to use my platform to build the thing that they want to build, that's a tough hill to climb, right? So I built another company. I built an entertainment company where, like I said, Gamionics is a partner of this experience that is very, very successful now, right? That is really taking off. And part of the motivation on my part was I need a showcase to show people that this is working and selling tickets and everyone's, you know, and this thing is happening, right? So I think that's part of the main issue, I think, in what I'm dealing with, is just learning how to overcome those early adoption hurdles. And then there's also, no one believes you until they have the tactile experience, right? And so so we're figuring out how we can get a better demo system that doesn't require people coming to see one of these other performances in the shows, but figuring out how to say, no, this really does work. And let me show you, and let me show how it does. And that, you know, the, we've been through a lot of different types of demos and we're still fine tuning it in order to say, hey, this just works, right? Like, it's a stable platform. We've had no problems with it. It simply works, but it's tough. I mean, it's tough when you're, when I think that would, you know, adopt early adoption for a startup B2B is one of the single biggest challenges, like get those early customers and then marry them.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, David, the people are ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for them?
You know, for me, having done this for a long time now, certainly working at Entertainment Patrician Protocol for over 2 decades, and then moving into technology and startup, and I'm obviously moving into it from my home base, which is the entertainment industry, was really just put your head down and let the work do the talking, right? Let the work that you're putting in do the talking, because I am a very good salesman, but what I realized at the end of the day is that that if I just put in the work, if I just trust the work that I'm doing, that's ultimately what's going to sell this at the end of the day, even through all the ups and the up and downs. So you just have to trust the work and trust that the hard work you're putting into it is going to have that payoff for you. Even in this sense of, I've been at this for about 6-7 years now, in a lot of different variations, which is that adaptability, right? That adaptability saying, oh, the software is doing something that I didn't expect it to do, and just chasing down that rabbit hole for a while and seeing what happens has ended up being a really big boon.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on, David. thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with Gameiotix?
Sure. So our website is gameiotix.com. You can check out our videos and look what we're doing. We are going to be doing a new software release at the beginning of October right now. That actually moves us into a consumer release where anyone can license the software and start playing with it for themselves. That's our soft product launch for the software platform. We're doing a big product launch for the live entertainment product called the 20-sided Tavern, which is the live action D&D style show. And you can find out more about the 20-sided Tavern at the 20sidedtavern.com. And that's where you see this marrying of the technology and content. So those are the places to follow us.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show David your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to gameiotix.com. That's gameiotix.com. And then on the site, you'll also find the links to that 20-sided tavern as well. And definitely encourage you to check it out, because it is an absolute unique thing that David is working on and moving forward. Thanks again, David.
Thanks so much, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.